Okay. So we'll begin. Now, what I wanted to tell you, just in addition, just in a review, I tend to give complete answers where they're possible. If you ask something I have no idea about, you're not going to get anything. Be aware of something. I don't read metaphysical things. Brian has asked me, don't read any other channeling, don't read any other books, because there's no delete key in your brain. So I don't want to come in. I want to be absolutely pure with the Kryon work. So as a studier of metaphysics, you may be asking me about this or that or a concept or whatever I've never heard of, Kryon has never given. And you'll say, you know, he doesn't know anything. And you're right. So that, I just wanted to throw that out there. And I can tell you more about that if you ask. So anything you want to know, is it personal, it's fine, it's all right. So,
okay, just raise your hand and I'll randomly pick someone, but I think this gentleman had his hand up first, so I'm going to honor that.
I have to talk into the mic, huh?
Yes, you do.
Okay, we had an earlier conversation about magnetism, and Kryon channeled about salt water and the benefits of the leftover magnetic water. So I'm interested in what we can do besides like wearing a magnetic bracelet or sleeping on a magnet pad or...
No, I want to tell you, we're going to go someplace you didn't expect, and it may or may not answer your question. When we're dealing with magnetics, and also, you know, you have your magnetic master, now Kryon has actually given the reason why he is called the magnetic master, and we're going to get into that, but obviously there's something to do with magnetics. And the actual subject that we have talked about is health and magnetics, is different than the magnetics that is going to be used for free energy or the magnetics going to be used for desalinization or any of that. But I love the discussion of health and magnetics. Is magnetics good for your body? How about the products that you and I talked about? Are they Nikon products? I forgot exactly what they were called, where you have a mattress. And you have some of the wristbands, and you have other some of the back braces. And there'll be those who will say, that is so good and it's worked so well, and they're right. So you're starting to see something that we know that Kryon has talked about, in that magnetics affects cellular structure. And many times the magnetics will benefit you, and people were raving about it. Now, here's what Kryon says, be very, very careful, and we'll ask you, and I'll talk about magnetic water. He says this, be very careful because, first of all, it's leading to somewhere. Right now, it's just gross magnetics. It's plus and minus, and you put it in the mattress, and you sleep on it, and it does something. But the secret truly is going to be designer magnetics, and that's coming. Designed magnetic fields with a certain parameter are going to be targeted to the various things that are going to be more healthy. We don't know what they are yet. So that's coming. But right now, we already see benefits from some of the magnetic products. Here's the danger. Kryon said, and I'll give you the quote that I gave you, is that when you're healing something, if you do it too long, magnetics can just as easily grow a tumor as heal something else. Don't do it as though it were an aspirin that you're going to take forever or a supplement that you're going to take forever. Do it a little while, feel the results, and then take it away. And then if you need it again, do it for a little while and take it away. Does that make sense to you? All right. That is the thing. Now, one of the things that you said, and that we're talking about desalination of water using magnetics. I'm not going to go into that because that's a whole different thing. But one of the offshoots of that would be there will be leftover stuff would be magnetized water, right? All right. Is that going to be something that we're going to find helps us? Yes. I love to talk about Lourdes. You know what Lourdes is? Do you know what's going on there? Magnetized water. It comes bubbling up from the ground from places that are very, it's been there a long, long time through magnetic lodestone, everything else, and comes out as magnetized water. This is what Kryon has channeling. And then people are lining up to get healed and have miracles. There's other places in the planet where this naturally occurs. And so there's something going to happen there. So these are the things Kryon says are coming. that is basically physics that is going to be involved. You're going to think it's metaphysics because you don't understand it. Then you'll see the science behind it and realize how it reacts to cellular structure. It's really cool. So, can you put magnets around your water now and expect benefits? The jury is out because if you just use regular magnets, I don't know if it's going to have any effect at all. Designer magnetics is going to be the answer. I'd be careful. Yeah. And by the way, I love this story. Tesla. You know that name. There are stories I've now heard from several places about his laboratory in Colorado. And that was in Colorado Springs. And the stories have, and I've searched the internet to find out if I can find pictures, and I can't, that there were pock marks in the ceiling where things took off on the laboratory and hit the ceiling with such force that they made scars. That was his phase relationship magnetics trying to change the mass of objects. And he was successful but couldn't control it because he didn't have the finite materials designed yet or the equipment to make something that way. But he saw it. This is one of the things that Cryon said really frustrated him, besides some of the other things. He was here to give us one thing and everything else was suppressed. It's a very interesting story about what wild cards are here for and what they do and what they can't do. So this is all just part of what's going on and what will go on with magnetics.
Wonderful answer. Thanks, Lee. Next question.
What has Cryon said about plant medicines like DMT, ayahuasca? Where do we go during those times?
The only thing Cryon has talked about is the plant medicines and not necessarily the hallucinogenic ones, including, and I'll have Monica weigh in on what we found out about a plant medicine in the crater bottom of Rapa Nui, but that they are going to be seen and they're going to replace some of the drugs we have because they're going to be so beneficial, they're going to be almost miracle. But when we get to some of the hallucinogenic ones, Cryon says, be very careful, and ayahuasca is one of them. Now, I have been to Peru many times. I've been in situations where ayahuasca was offered and taken. I've watched the result of it. I've interviewed those who were on it. I've seen third eyes open up. I've seen pineals open up. I've seen people changed. And I've seen the opposite. And so it's different for different consciousnesses. I personally won't take it because Cryon says, you don't need it. I've talked to my personal friends who have taken it repeatedly without any effects at all adverse. And then Greg Braden, my friend, who also leads it, he won't take it either. And it's just that there's part of us who says we know that some of it stays there. And this has been acknowledged also in some of the elements actually remain. And that's what I don't know about. But I have seen it all. So I can't say yes or no, except that I won't and don't need to. But I have seen miraculous stuff go on. I don't know about yourself. Have you taken it? It's all right. And what happened? Tell us.
Use the microphone.
I would... Probably done DMT over 40 times.
Okay.
And I've just had some friends take ayahuasca. And I would say that I hear sometimes Cryon talk about the soup of God.
Yes.
And that's where it seems to be.
And that's where it goes, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, it touches the pineal, I think, especially.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like you get an enlightened moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd just simply be careful. 40 times may be enough.
I know, right?
Right. But that's being very honest. So,
yeah.
Right.
And I invite people to visit. We're going to Peru this year, and we have a shaman, a Kiero shaman, who we're going with. And if you go to the events page to find that trip, he has been in a documentary movie called Humano. It's free. You can watch it. And he gives some insights.
Cryon.com/humano will take you right there.
He gives some insights as to the ayahuasca. And the The one thing that I took away from the message in that amazing movie with him, if you start relying on the plant medicine to connect to the other side, then that becomes an addiction. So it's being very clear that it's being used as a catalyst for something rather than a dependency, because then you're not in the oneness of everything. You're separating yourself from the plant, and then I need the plant to do this to create the oneness. And yeah, when you watch the movie Humano, he does a ceremony, but he explains it very clearly.
Then I really wanted you to weigh in very, very briefly, but people would love to hear this. When we befriended the shaman in Rapa Nui, Easter Island, he's a botanist. That's what he does basically for a living, and he's a shaman. And there is something that was discovered in the bottom that's grown in the crater in Rapa Nui that is a plant medicine. It does something really amazing.
A Brazilian doctor discovered that those who have organ transplants, there's a high tendency for the body to reject that organ. And yet, when they take this plant medicine from Rapa Nui, the likelihood of it being rejected is reduced to a negligible state. And it's all natural, no side effects. So POW is working very hard to get a lot of the Rapa Nui medicines into the hospitals.
So who knows what else there probably is lurking out there.
Next question. All right, I'm going to come to the lady in the front row.
I get nervous when you're writing them down, but that's all right.
All right.
That's all right.
Whenever in Cryon 12, the DNA layers and stuff like that, and we were learning how to talk to the innate, okay, how does Cryon talk to the innate, or how do you talk to the innate?
Quark's Shrine doesn't have DNA, so the question is, how do I talk to DNA? And here's the answer. I'd like to think of it, rather than talking to my DNA, as talking to my cellular structure, which is made of DNA. I feel better about that because I can relate more to my cells, of the liver cells, the heart cells, or whatever. The cells of my body, I've been told by Cryon, are addressable. Now, that was a little bit of the channel last night when he said consciousness homeopathy. Do you understand a little of what that might mean? If you understand homeopathy and the tincture of homeopathy, just a chemical that is so parts per million it can't possibly have an actual reaction, seems to affect the body because it's a tincture is an instruction set. If you ask a homeopathy what they do, they build instruction sets. And then you take it under your tongue, and then you get the healing. Well, the next step is consciousness homeopathy, talking to yourselves. How is it done? It's just as simple as you can believe. I do it out loud. Monica does it out loud. And we'll do it when we're getting ready in the morning or whatever. And I address them whatever is going on at that moment. The first thing I will tell them is that I love them. They're perfect. They're doing a good job. In other words, there's a self-worth compliment. Let me just tell you, when I had the most amazing experience that I will never repeat because it was grueling and awful. I climbed Mount Sinai, and shouldn't have done it because I'm not fit, but I wanted to do it because everybody else was doing it, and there was going to be a channel at the top. I did it several weeks ago in Egypt. Okay. And when I was going for it, I realized I was overdoing it, and my legs, especially coming down the mountain, were giving out, and they were cramping and all that, and I started a dialogue with my legs. And I got instant results. And you know what I said? I love you. You're doing a great job. And I told them, I said, I'm going to name you Super Legs from now on. And I promise you I'll never do this again. And I'll tell you what. Maybe it's mind over matter, but I'll tell this. They got stronger. I was able to go further and all that. And I kept talking to my legs. And when I was done, and they were done, and I could barely hobble to my to my hotel room, at that point in time, we had a celebration. And I talked to them, and I said, you are the greatest. And so I congratulate parts of my body for having energy, for getting me through the day. And this works for me. I instruct them to keep on going. I instruct them, and I also congratulate them for being healthy, for chasing away disease. This is how I do it. And to me, this works. And this is actually what Cryon is saying. You've got to start addressing your body. And this also, you understand this, the premise is you're in charge. And most people don't think we are. You know, we live from here to here. That's where we live. And everything else, we just hope works. And then we watch the TV and we find out what's not supposed to work and what drug we're supposed to take, you know, and all that. And that's the issue that Cryon addressed a long time ago, and that is is a whole body experience is you are in charge of the whole shebang. So.
Next question.
I have a question about, healing yourself. And I'm talking about physical healing. My mother has had a lot of surgeries in her back, and basically her the spinal area is very squished, and she has a lot of pain. Is it possible to fix or heal your physical body when things are mangled inside?
Yes.
All right.
You cannot do it for her. And I'm sorry, you do know that. She can. If she has the wherewithal to understand, she can, and doesn't buy into the fact that because it's deformed or mangled, that it isn't going to work. I have seen with my own eyes, I have seen, and so has Greg Braden, we've seen the results of x-rays changing. I'll tell you something that happened I've never told anybody before in a seminar, and it was in the very, very beginning days of Cryon. And when Jan was talking to me, I fell out of a drop ceiling in my workplace onto the floor and realized that something had happened because I had a sore back, and then it became more than a sore back. I went to the chiropractor and they did an x-ray. He said, well, you've got some damage there and all that kind of work. And so I went to an acupuncturist and he says, I think you've got some more than that damage. I think it's disintegrating. All the things you don't want to hear. And so Jan is talking to me the whole time, and she's giving me the whole story. And she's saying, it doesn't have to be that way. You can visualize your way out of it. And I was thinking, come on, I can visualize myself out of it. So what I did is I asked for the x-ray from the chiropractor. Of course, the chiropractor said, no, you don't own it. Isn't that interesting? So you know how that works? So we own it. And I said, but I paid for it. And so the chiropractor said, okay, look, I'll give you a picture that's not the exact, but you can have a picture. So I got a picture of it. And what I did every single day was look at it and visualize it repaired. It repaired. And that's when I knew I'm in charge. Now, today, there's still some curvature. There's some other things that I fight occasionally. But I'll tell you, that disc that was in trouble on the x-rays that I now have is no longer in trouble. Yes.
Wonderful. Next question.
Thank you. My question involves economics. Two things in particular. One is people talk about the inequality of wealth. And two would be with technology changing, people getting jobs might be very difficult. Just curious if you have any insight.
I have a degree in economics. I don't know if you knew that or not. So I'm biased. With balanced economics, you can have a balanced system. What happens that interrupts it besides politics, besides the things you see in South America that you can't even believe, where you'll have a dictator come in and do absolutely everything wrong and be amazed that the economics go south? Because there's just no understanding. But technology is what you brought in. If it's balanced, no matter what the technology is, it'll work. What we haven't done in economics is to balance that which is laissez-faire with social programs. And that is, a balanced economy doesn't have to be one where 25% of it is used for war. All right? And it can be a balanced economy, especially in the United States, with enough jobs, which is created by enough taxes coming in. So we need a high employment rate. But then what Cryon has said about that, the only time he's ever weighed in on it, is to say, when you start beneficial programs, he even said, he addressed the United States, he said, build one less submarine. And develop a department of compassion for immigrants. so that they can be vetted and come into the country safe and all. That's where the money should go. He says, then you'll understand the social programs that you want and can't afford will start to be affordable because your system starts to be more beneficial for you, and that is seen as something that creates energy that will actually work. So you have an economics that is not just numbers. Now we have conscious economics. I have a friend in South America who advises corporations how to work within their corporations, and his whole theme is conscious capitalism. And so it has to do with the element of capitalism that has benevolence and helps people within each company. And what all of them have found out is as soon as you change your attitude and the consciousness of how you even earn the money, suddenly sales increases. Suddenly everybody has a better, better experience. And then there's certain technologies coming that Cryon says will actually help this, and I don't know what they are. Usually when some things come and people lose their jobs, that's what we're worried about. But he says something is coming that's going to put more people to work than you know in areas we don't have yet. And then we go back to you don't know what you don't know. So that's all I can give you. But I don't see the whole thing collapsing like some people do.
Next question.
Hi, I'm wondering about the souls and energy of companion animals. Just what Cryon feels about that.
Companion animals?
Yeah.
Okay. Not everybody has heard all the channels. Not everybody I know is on board with everything that Cryon has taught. And so I'm aware that in order to give you good answers, sometimes I have to do reviews. The first question is, do animals have souls? So Cryon says, some. That was always interesting to me. We're always either black or white. They either have them or they don't. And Cryon is saying, some. Which ones do? And he says, the ones that interface with human beings. So then the question is, do they reincarnate because they have souls? And the answer was some. And then I said, which ones reincarnate? And he says, the ones that have love affairs with their human beings. I love that. I've experienced it. I had a dog for 10 years. It's about all he lasts. Loved it. Cryon says, you know, she's out there. You got 3 months to find her. Or it's going to be harder if you don't do that. Last thing you want to do when you lose an animal is pick up and find another one because it's like betraying the one that died. And I remember we went to a breeder, a valid breeder of the ones that we wanted, because there was one born that was just like within a month of the other one's passing. And we said, look, we don't know it's that one, but Cryon says, look into their eyes and they'll tell you. Because the animal wants to continue the love affair and they don't last that long. A companion animal, just like that. And we found her. And the fun thing was that as we got her and raised her, she had all the bad habits of the one that we lost, including pottying in the wrong place. I mean, to keep that from happening, we went to that place in the yard where we didn't want it, and we put sod that was fake, so that the dog wouldn't do it, went right to the same place and did it. We know that we got the same consciousness in that animal. And Cryon says, don't look for the same breed, although we did. Don't look for this. It could be, doesn't have to be a dog even. Although if you're a dog person, you want a dog. That's the story. And as crazy as it sounds, that I love that answer. And so there is, if any of you have lost animals, if they want to continue the love affair, especially a companion animal, yeah.
Next question.
Unfortunately, I've been watching all the wrong YouTube videos.
I'm sorry.
I'm not seeing anything in any kind of coherent pattern, and my friend is telling me that she's seen or heard a lot of channelings about climate change. I've heard none. Can you give me just a summary?
I'll be happy to. I'll give you the ABCs of that, and also the research, and also the summary behind it. You're not going to find concentric climate change information either, even on my site, because we don't have a database yet that categorizes where you're going to find certain subjects. All I can tell you that on my site, crime.com/freeaudio, you will get consistent of channels of, if they're in a group of 1 through 5, you'll get 1 through 5, and you'll see them in order they were given. It was more than 10 years ago, and hinted at even in book 1, that we're going to have climate change. And when Crine started talking about more than a decade ago, it was in conjunction with the information that we were given at that time that we had caused global warming, and it was an inconvenient truth, and you were going, here we go, here we go, here we go. And Crine chimed in right away and said, this is what I've been talking about. He says, there is an adjustment coming. It's a cycle. It's always come, and it never happened when humans were here. And so you don't have a record of it. But you can find it in the ice cores and the tree rings. It's a cycle that happens on a regular basis, and it's a mini ice age, which just means cold. Now, that's going to affect here as well, because you have winter. But the places that are really going to be affected is above you. And you're getting into those places in Minnesota and Wisconsin and North Dakota, and of course, almost all of Eastern Canada, not as much in Western Canada. So look for any place that gets cold now and realize you just add 15 degrees to it in the opposite direction. Now, what just happened? We had that happen. What was it called? I forgot what it was called.
The polar displacement.
So Crine talks about it, and bam, we have our first event. And this is what Crine has talked about. We saw temperatures in the United States we've never seen all my life. Here it comes. Now, why does Crine talk about it? He says it's only dangerous because we don't have a grid for heat that will sustain itself. It's going to break. You can't give that much energy of heaters to an entire population in a state when you're experiencing freezing rain, all of these things that we never had, and it's sustained for weeks, which may very well happen. Crine says there are places, even in the States, within 15 to 20 years, that snow will never clear. Now that, you got it? Now that doesn't mean the end of society, it just means it's gonna get colder. Be ready for it. Then there's the promotion, he says there's energy coming. That you is non-grid. Get off the grid because there are some centralized energies that are coming that will be neighborhood-wise. Because when power fails, you freeze. And if you can't get out of your house, that's it. Anybody experience anything like that? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, every time there's a storm in Montreal that has where the power comes down, whether people die. And we've seen this. I mean, it even happened in Indiana. So this is because they can't get out and shut in. You need a way of creating heat. If you can get out enough to go to your neighbor who has the equipment or another neighborhood who wasn't shut down. And then Crine says the best thing you can do is have someplace, somewhere, a wood-burning stove. And that's your emergency. And then people will say, well, it's against the law to use one. It's not against the law to own one. But for pollution, if you've got pollution laws, I hope you do, but you're not supposed to have the open burning and wood burning stoves on, they're not going to arrest you for saving your life if you need to use one. So don't get me wrong. We're not going to get an ice age. We're getting mini ice age, and it's happened before. Greg Braden, again, I use his name so much, is on board exactly with this, even shows in his screen the ice cores and all, and he shows where it's happened before. And the biggest aha, I don't want to steal his thunder, but the biggest aha at all, when I sat in the front row and watched his presentation, not only did we see that cycle that Crine's talking about happen in the past, but are you ready for this? Right before the cycle happens, there's warming and an increase in carbon dioxide, even with no humans involved in the planet. Is that something? So here we have a story that we caused it. We didn't. It's coming because it's a cycle. So don't let the politicians tell you to do something because you caused it. Let the politicians tell you to clean up your air and your water. Bingo. We should anyway. But don't let them tell you you caused it. You didn't. Now, that's extremely controversial, but Cryon says that's going to be proven eventually. When the climatologist and the meteorologist are allowed to speak out, can I tell you something that's so interesting? Most of them work for the government, all right? So they're afraid to come forward. When I go to Europe, Europe is on board with what Cryon has said. Most of Europe says this is a cycle, and you can see it in all of their writings. You come here, and there's nothing about it. And so it's political and it shouldn't be, basically. But we have a cold coming, and it's you know what I love about this? It's part of the planet recycling so that life in the oceans can remain. You know what happens when you have an aquarium? You can do whatever you want to the water. You can aerate it. You can all of the stuff. You can balance it. But there comes a time you got to change the water. Earth cannot change the water, but boy, can they do something else. And Gaia, every so often, whether it's every 1,500 years or whatever, changes it. First starts by killing the stuff in the reefs, and the warming comes, and the glaciers melt and all. Then you go through the cycle, and you can see it in the ice cores, and it all comes back, including the life, in a more robust form than it ever did. So we've seen it in the cycles. It's not really being reported to the extent that the beauty that it is and the rejuvenation that Gaia gives us. We're getting the negative news and we're afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Just know it's going to get colder. Fair enough?
Next question.
Hello. So my question is, have you or Cryon talked about hearing almost like the Tibetan singing bowls, hearing the sound going around in the high-pitched frequencies that alternate and almost like a Morse code, almost?
Cryon has not talked about a signaling high frequency that you're talking about. Oh, I wouldn't doubt it, because what he has talking about is the ringing of the ears, that what they call tinnitus or tinnitus, in younger people. Now, we expect it as seniors because it's always, you know, a part of growing old, or that's what they tell us. And so there's all kinds of talk about it. But suddenly, Cryon says that it also is accompanying those who are becoming more enlightened. So you're going to have younger people experiencing this, ringing in the ears, but the frequencies are different than they would be for a senior. So that's as close as Cryon has ever come to saying it's connected with consciousness. Now, what you're saying is that you're saying there could be some signaling, or there's, as in Morse code or whatever. I don't doubt it. Now, Cryon hasn't talked about this. It's the first time I've heard about it. So I'm going to be listening for others for the same question and asking some others what it was like or whatever. So thank you for the question, but that's the answer we go. I think we're on the right track.
Next question.
Timing is actually amazing, because mine was a frequency question as well. I know a lot of us in here are healers, and we did the metronomes and the coherence and such. And we always hear that, you know, we have like the guilt and the shame being very, very low frequencies, and then we have the love and the joy and the compassion and gratitude being way up there. So in our heart math, we're going to have these beautiful pictures. So how are they measuring that frequency? I mean, I have people ask me all the time, how do you know this? What is this? How is this frequency thing?
You know, it's a good question. We really can't. HeartMath is not measuring that. They're measuring coherence. They're not measuring frequencies of love. Coherence is a whole different thing, and we'll show you how that's measured. It has to do with heart rate variability. But when it comes to measuring dark and light, we're not doing that. Not really. Except you can, with your consciousness. You can tell the difference, can't you? All right. When you walk into a room, you can tell if something has happened, if you're sensitive, as you are. If you go to a theater and sit down by a person you don't know, and you move, and you probably have, because you're sensing frequency. Frequency is not the right word. You're sensing consciousness level. So if there is a low consciousness level, or even the consciousness level of disease or other things that would be low, I won't even go into fear, you react. A sensitive react. Now that's starting to happen to a lot of us. So we're starting to sense the level of consciousness, the dark and the light. When you came in here, I hope you sensed that it was safe. And you could sit anywhere. And you were safe to listen. And we weren't going to give you something that's going to affect you or anything else. But we're going to honor your intellect and your emotions. And that is a sense then of light. So we're starting to tune in to sensing dark and light. Now, let me tell you where this is going. And I love this. Because Kryon says one of the things that's going to happen, and this is where everybody goes, you're kidding, is in politics. Well, we're going to be able to sense a candidate's low or high frequency. Are they stupid? Are they giving us a line? Are they honest or not? And part of that is now going to be centered on how they speak and how they treat their opponent. And the treating of the opponent is going to be the giveaway eventually. Now, that may take a generation. It's okay with me. And you'll start seeing they're going to honor their opponent, not dish them, make them equal patriots with different ideas, instead of trashing them, or instead of going to outside sources to make them wrong, or bring up the dirt of their life, you know, and put it on the billboards, or have stupid pictures of them that they're going to put so everybody sees how dumb they look while they talk. All of that's going away. And Christ says you're going to start judging your opponents by the dark or the light that you sense from who they are, when they talk, when their face, all of that. That even extends to the corporate boards when you're around and who's telling what and whatever. I love that whole idea. Isn't here yet, is it? But Kryon says, watch for this, because there will be some candidates who are going to do that and lose, but not for long, because it happens gradually. I would love to see politics change where we're not simply hating each other all the time or fighting with each other all the time, but simply exchanging ideas and having compromises that work for both sides, instead of just saying, well, you're not my color, therefore I'm going to vote against everything you even, you know, we had a thing against hate crimes, and they couldn't even agree on that because, you know, because the person who suggested it wasn't the right color, wasn't it blue or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. So that's where it's going to go, sensing dark and light even within individuals' consciousness. Do you believe that can happen?
Yeah.
I do too. We're not there yet. We really aren't. But I say we're going to start seeing that growth. And I think we're going to see it more than not. Even the, you know, that's part of the Me Too movement, is women feeling safe enough with the consciousness of the public to know that they won't be then suppressed by one organization or one guy and lose everything. So they're trusting the public. This is where it comes from. So those whistleblowers are now starting to come and say, I trust the public to carry this for me because I think there's more light here than there was before. And that allows the whistleblower to come up, which is, of course, even the Me Too movement is part of that. But it's more. Wait till you see what's going to go on with some of the corporations that are inappropriate, with some of the pharma that's happening or whatever. When the whistleblowers, it may even be a movie, Kryon says. He says it's coming. And when it does, you'll start to say, well, where did that come from? This is something we've always known. But nobody inside was going to tell us. But they will.
And next question.
Well, my question was going to be about polar flips. But now since we talked about the high vibration, I want to tell you since 2012... on occasion, I will get this real high-pitched sound. And what happens, it's just like something, a veil drops over my whatever I'm doing mind, and I just sit and I'm very, very quiet, and I'm really not aware of anything being told, but it's like I'm enraptured in joy. And then a couple days later, I'll get up around 3 in the morning and take dictation. And I think there is some connection there. But
I believe there is, too.
And I just think it, you know, that yeah. I have to digest it and process
it. Yeah, and
it.
I think we all do because I'm a senior and it happens without enlightenment sometimes. And sometimes it's bothering and I work with it. I'm also aware when I channel, sometimes it comes in. And it is not the frequency that I'm hearing as a senior. It is different. And I can't say it's above it. I'm an audio engineer in electronics. I mean, I know what the frequencies are. I know the frequency that I'm hearing. By the way, any tonight, it's multiple frequencies, not just one. But there's one usually piercing one. It's not that one. It's completely different. And I know that. And it'll happen when I channel, and then it'll go away. So I think there's a relationship to that. We just have to be careful that we don't intermingle them. So, you know, one is physical. It often happens with age, and one is not.
Next question right here.
What does Cryon say about specific things that we can do with the raising and the education of our indigo children?
Indigo children, almost everybody has one. I mean by that, by now. The population, they're all very, very different, depending upon who you are and all like that. So they're not all, you know, all generic indigos. And so we probably had this a little bit of this discussion before. The biggest thing you can do with the kids is number one, I relate to them. Now, this hasn't been the case in the past because parenting has been more... less discussion and more orders. That comes from, you know, an older generation of how you raise kids. And suddenly we're dealing with children who know better. They're conceptually aware even of the kind of discipline that you're giving and ways of getting around it. They'll even give you logical arguments when you say, well, do this or that, and they'll say, well, that doesn't work because, and you'll say, just do what I'm told, which is the wrong thing to say. They are more conceptually aware of everything. Now, when they go to school and they start objecting to what's there, and they say, I don't like it there, or whatever, and you get into the ADD syndrome and all of that, and there is this objection, that's when it gets different. When they come home, and I think I discussed this with you, when they come home, what Cryon has suggested, and this comes right along with what others have found out, is that you tell them they're right. You commiserate with them and you say, you know, I know this is true because the institution is dumbed down right now. It's going to get better, but for right now, you're smarter than they are. But what you can do is this. I know better. You know better. You got to play the game. Play the game. Give them what they want for as many years as you have to go there. Come home and we'll laugh about it. I'll help you with your homework is all, and we can laugh about it, but I know you're right. What this does is you're now in their corner and in a way that they will understand, hey, somebody's listening and it's my mom, you know, that's pretty cool. Then they'll be able to go to school and do that and without the frustration. Now, if you say instead, you know, I had to do it this way, you had to do it this way, pay attention to your teachers, pass those tests or else, you're on restriction or whatever, they're lost, they're out of here, they're gone. So what they'll do next is go to their peers, and together those peers will have a little committee meeting, and they'll say, parents are nuts, you know, here we go. So how would you like to be inclusionary instead of exclusionary with the kids? They're different. They're different. Those of you who have grandkids know it. Because the grandkids are so different. And by the way, the grandchildren will recognize you, old soul, as an old soul, more than they will their mother or dad. Did you recognize that too? So they'll come running to their grandparents with metaphysics. What do I do about mom, you know? And you'll listen to it and you'll go, where in the world did this come from? You're just a wise little old soul, aren't you? That's what's going on. And so most children today are starting to fit that categorization. the conceptualness of that child is evolution. That's an evolution that we just discussed today of what happens, you know, when a consciousness starts to grow and evolve, the concepts of life itself start to change.
And if I can summarize in a single sentence how to nurture the indigos, we even heard it from the Cryon channel this weekend, and that is to embrace the wisdom of compassion. Because when we emulate the original teachers of spirituality on the planet, which was the Pleiadians, that is the model. And what was it that they had? They had wisdom, compassion, and the understanding of how to use the wisdom of compassion. And if that is your compass, I think you can't go wrong.
You know, also, it's just, you know, it's how you treat the child. Treat the child as though they are far more intelligent than you think. And so instead of, you know, do your homework, do it now, or else, or whatever, you look at them and you go, you're a handful. You know, I don't know how I ever got you. You're really a handful. Help me with this. You know, give them some choices. What would you do right now? You know, and give them some choices. And pretty soon you'll find out this appeals to them. Now you're going to put them in a condition of helping you to discipline them. Doesn't always work, but often it does, because you're acknowledging they're smart.
Next question.
You talked a little bit about not clearing the room, and I'm really big on that. But I actually have a question about shielding. I was told, you know, it's very fear-based when you're doing that because you're acknowledging. Probably not a good idea. Is it a good idea to shield?
Let me tell you, we all grew up in metaphysics, and for 30 years we shielded. What we shielded was we were aware that, and you can sit down, hon. You were aware that inappropriate, I'll call them darker energies or lower consciousness, can get to us, and they can get to us in a way that they will cut down our efficiency as light workers, and it did. And I have seen this. I have seen this with a group of light workers coming in contact with lower energies, and suddenly the energy of the whole room changed. Everything changed. I've seen one person who I knew was unbalanced and dark change a group. So we shielded, and this is what we did, and we've done this all the through. It's not fear-based, it's just intelligent shielding from light and dark. Okay, now suddenly, Cryon is saying, because there's more light in the planet and you're containing it, you don't have to shield anymore. Because the very things that used to affect you can't affect you. Cryon even gave me, and he didn't even channel, and I think two or three times he said to me, Lee, you can stand in a circle with those who claim they're devil worshipers, giving incantations and pointing at you, and nothing is going to happen. And then there are those who bring up, well, there are some places on the planet where they can stick pins in dolls and somebody over there gets the disease. And Cryon says, yes, because that's the culture and that's what they were trained and that's what they're going to do. Because you buy into it. You see what I'm saying? So if I went over there, and Cryon says, he even challenged me with this when he says, if you ever find yourself in a place where they're going to stick a pin in a doll and expect you, why don't you stand next to the person putting the pin in and stare them down? Because they ain't going to do anything. Because you're not their culture. You haven't bought into the fear. Can I just tell you one little thing? So, I've been invited and channeled at the United Nations 7 times. It's not at the Grand Assembly. It's in committee rooms with people who want to come see me, and I've been invited. Okay. And it's open to delegates and guests of the UN. I've actually had criticisms. Why would you ever go to the UN? They don't do anything good there. You know, I said, wouldn't you like to see some light there? What's wrong with the channeling there? When we're in there, the first time I got a message from somebody, I think it was from AOL, because that's all that was there at the time, that said, there is a group of people who are trying to kill Cryon, and they're going to meet at the same time you're in the UN. This is real stuff. And so they said, in order to protect yourself, Lee, you got to sit in a triangle, and you got to have your workers, select them carefully, sit on each side of you in a certain configuration. So this was somebody who was trying to help me when they heard about all this stuff coming down. So did a group meet? I find out later, yes. What was my reaction? I, first of all, instantly, fear. What's going to happen to me? I was invited in Indiana. We had people from the UN come to the Indiana event in Indianapolis and check me out and invite me, and then some later I went. It's the first trip I ever took east. It's the first time I ever went to New York. I was looking at energies I'd never seen. I'd heard all kinds of things about New York, which were not true. I actually like it for a day or two. And I was in the UN. All of this was brand new. And what I said, okay, Crying, what am I supposed to do? And he said, nothing. I didn't place anybody. There was no triangles. We walked into committee meeting in room 6, and they had just done the Bosnian peace treaty hours before. And the room was still hot with that and celebration. And it really was. And I walked into that room, and we did our channels, and nothing happened. Not one thing. And afterwards, and I was in my room, and I can remember thinking about it, and Cryon winked and said, see? And what that message was about is you carry enough light that it doesn't matter how many people are trying to get you, because your light is far grander than any darkness that could come together. Do you love this? That's my experience that I had, and the answer.
Great. Answer, Lee. Thanks for that. And the next question. You've already had one.
Uh-oh.
So, mining the Akash, I want to know if Crian can give us something tangible, whether it be a mantra or a way to... Because let me just preface this real quick. Like, I feel like, I broke through all my patterns. I did it. I overcame that. And then wouldn't you know, it's right back. So, like, when can I let go of this one thing, you know?
You know, you're going to have to keep at it, and this has to do with affirmations. There's a meditation, I believe, that Dr. Wolf has. She talks about it and teaches it. It's tough.
Yeah.
This is a... And you can sit down. I don't need you to stand up. This is a concept. Mining your Akash is a term that Crian initiated many years ago that said that in your past lives, there have been things that have been either good or negative, and some of them come up and bother you, like the person who's drowned in a past life or several times, doesn't want to live by the water or is afraid to go in the water or whatever, and it sticks. And there's more than that. There are things that beat you up just in regular life. Then there's also things that have been spectacular that you've done. So mining the Akash, just like you mine for gold someplace, is going into your own Akash, picking up what you want, and putting down what shouldn't be there. That's mining the Akash. Can you do it? Crian has invited us to go and do that. Now, you realize that was all before 2012. Well, now he says the good things of your Akash are going to start evolving, both for the living and those who are reincarnating. But we're still working the puzzle. Me too. Now, my Kosh contains me, first of all, being afraid of crowds and also of speaking. My Akash has a seasick guy. I'm giving you all these things because I have gone beyond all of them. And in order to do that, I had to practice it as though it existed. I had to do affirmations and remind my own consciousness that it no longer has power, that get it in the back seat. I've had situations where it started again. You know where you'll have a fear or something, and it starts here. By the time it gets here, you're out of control. You know what I'm talking about? Where I felt something coming that was icky, and I recognized it. This is my old fear of... And I actually was able to verbalize, not today, get in the back seat. It's active, and you kind of keep on it. It's not a onesie. That's the best I can give you for the way of treating this. And mining the Akash is going to be something that's extremely doable, but you've got to stay on it. And even after you're on it and it's over, you've got to remind your body that it's gone. And part of that is the old energy is still here. It's not like it's gone away. And it's just that we now have a lot more control over it. So does that help a little? Okay, good.
Wonderful. Next question.
This will be the last question.
My question is, when you're channeling, are you aware or like you know you're channeling, crying? You're not like having to be
asleep?
Great question.
Great question. And this, thank you. I'm glad that's the last question too, because I can, and thanks, Monica. I can expand on it just a little bit, because some people have asked me some of these various questions, and so I can go for it. A little while ago, I forgot what month it was, some years ago, Sedona, Arizona, we did a 12-channel program. 12 people across the stage. We were in a theater with 700, and we put them on stage together so that we would all be able to channel, and we did. And it's online, meaning on my site, and you can hear it. All right. I also did it in Europe with as many as 6 channels, and I did it twice in Europe from many countries. When that took place, we got a chance to interview each other. So we would have dinner together, and we would say, you know, like, well, what's it like for you? And I'll never forget this, because there was no single answer. Every single one of them was different. Some could stand around with their eyes open and walk through a crowd and read people that they met. There are those who are just like me, who had to stay in a chair, and if they got up, they'd fall over and they couldn't open their eyes. There was a little in between. There were those who actually saw visions. It was all different. And so that's when we realized that it has to do with the personality and consciousness of the individual channeling. Then you realize it isn't the takeover at all. You don't then get out of the way and have somebody else come in. What you do is meld. So it's a meld of your magnificence, your Merkabah, whatever it is, your higher self, with the other side of the veil coming together in a way that a message can be delivered. And that's why they're all different. So now you realize that if you're going to channel, and any of you are here, that it's not a matter of just stepping aside and letting something happen. You're going to work, especially in this energy, work with a meld that makes sense. It's you and also that part of whatever else in the universe that comes in. Then you got to realize the part that you are participating in the channeling is the sacred part. That's your soul. And so your consciousness is part of that. And so that's why I don't read metaphysical things. So that in my consciousness is not placed any ideas that then germinate and can then affect my thinking that would be anything different than I've channeled. And that keeps the purity for me. So indeed, some people tell me things and whatever and that, but that's not me voluntarily reading something. So it keeps me from some pretty good stuff as well, and I'm aware of that. So the channeling that I feel when I'm there, I remember all of it, except in one condition, and I'll tell you what it is. I cannot get up. I cannot walk around. There's been a few times where I could stand. I need help from the mic stand. If I stand during a channel, I need something to hold on to because I don't have equilibrium. That is one exception, and that was in 2017 in the King's Chamber of the Giza Pyramid, where Kreon let me stand up and walk around. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And it was really uncomfortable. And it never happened since. But in general, that's mine. Now, you might have been aware of Marilyn Harper, because if you've heard any of my channelings, she often is channeling next to me and with me. She's not here this weekend. Marilyn can't remember anything. Zero. She has to listen to the tape later, or the recording later, and she can stand up and walk around and do all kinds of things. She even has better balance when she's channeling. She can stand on one leg and do all kinds of stuff. She cannot do that. She's a senior as well. She cannot do that unless she's channeling. So we're seeing that. Now, I said there was one exception, and with this I'll close. And it started happening with Dr. Wolf. Where are you, Dr. Wolf? Okay, you took a break. Because we're having a break here right now. Oh, hi. So you were invisible back there. What are you doing becoming invisible? And she will vouch for this. And I don't know the first time it happened, but when we started channeling for the Lemurian sisterhood, you've got me as the only male in the room. And the sisters are all there, and Cryon comes in, and the first thing he says is, in honor of the sacredness of the gender before me, I am keeping everything from my partner that I'm going to say. So on a regular basis, when I channel for the sisterhood, which will, by the way, Monday morning as well, Cryon does not let me hear, and I have to listen to it later. And that's simply protocol. I love it. It's an honoring of the women that he won't let me hear what is there. Because spirit is genderless. And so it's the male talking, but spirit has no gender. And so it's kept from me. And I can listen to it later in honor of the ladies. So that's the only time that has happened. And that's uncomfortable as well. So that's a little bit of an exposure. And thank you for your questions. I will put these online along with the channelings. You realize that all the channelings go online within a day or so when I get home. They're on my site. They're for you to hear. If you missed anything, or in the case of some of you who went to sleep, I know who that was. And occasionally I'll put a Q&A, and I think that this would have been an all right one, and I'll put that there too so you can hear the answers.